There's a joke about a tour guide who, like many tour guides, made up half of what he was saying. So one time he took people to a certain cave, and he said, "In this cave is buried Samuel, the prophet." So the people in the tour, they said, "But last week you took us somewhere else, and you said that was where Samuel was buried." So he thinks for a minute and he says, "That was Samuel A, and this is Samuel B." Technically, in Judaism, we don't divide the book of Shmuel to Samuel A and Samuel B. This is a Christian divide. But at any rate, being that for whatever reason this entered our books, so it is a good way to recognize where we're up to, and we're up to what the Christians call Shmuel Days, the second chapter. We had seen how... Said that's what they call it.
No, they don't.
Samuel B. Okay.
Second Samuel.
Second Samuel. Okay. Sorry.
Bays except for Yaki
version. Okay.
If anything, it's Bet.
So. Okay. So David asks God, now that King Saul, now that Shaul has passed away. David asks Hashem, should I go up to one of the cities of Judea, to one of the cities of Yehuda? And God says, go. And God, David asks God, where should I go? And God tells him, go to Hebron. And now, David is standing at a very sensitive time in Jewish history where the king has been killed. The Jewish people know that he's been anointed king. And... he's been chased. He's been a fugitive. He's the king's son-in-law, and the king said that he was rebellious. And David is faced with a predicament. God wants him king. He doesn't want to seem like someone who's just hopping onto the throne. What's he supposed to do? So he asks God, what should I do? And God tells him, go back and live in Hebron, as though everything's okay. And David takes his wife. He takes his wives. And... he takes his men and he lives in a way that indicates its peace. He sends his men all to their homes. He doesn't remain the way he had been when Shaul was alive. When Shaul was alive, he always had his battalion all around him, ready for war at any moment. Now, David is coming back to indicate that it's peace, and the people of Yehuda really come and anoint him as king. Now, his men are scattered in the cities of Hebron. He's anointed as king over the house of Yehuda, and he is told that the people of Yavesh Gilead buried Shaul. They buried the person who was trying to kill him for the last few years, his father-in-law, King Saul. So David sends word to the people of Yavesh Gilead, and he says, blessed are you to God. He wants to show that he doesn't hold anything against King Saul's friends. Quite the contrary. He appreciates those that buried him. Ordinarily, if you're a king that's trying to usurp the former king for the throne, then anyone that's the former king's friends is your enemy. David is showing the exact opposite. He sends word to the people who buried him, and he says, blessed are you to Hashem that you did this kindness with your master Saul and you buried him. And may Hashem do kindness and truth with you, and I will do kindness with you as repayment for what you've done today. Don't worry. His first message is, don't worry. If the Philistines try to take revenge from you because you stole that King Saul's body and buried him, I will protect you. Don't worry. And also, you should know that the tribe of Judea anointed me as king over them. If need be, I'm ready to come and protect you. Now, when Saul died, so his chief general, Avner ben Ner, took his one son that remained. We'll see, there's another son. He took his son named Ish-Boshes, and he brought him to Machanaim, and he appointed him as king. First, he appoints him as king over the tribes on the eastern side of the Jordan, and then Ephraim, and then Benjamin, which are the tribes that are Rachel's children, right? Ephraim and Binyamin. King Saul himself was from the tribe of Binyamin. And then, finally, he succeeds in making him king over all of Israel. And Ish-Boshes, we will see, was a very righteous person. Days passed, 7 years and 6 months, we will see, pass while David is king over Hebron, over the tribe of Yehuda, and Ish-Boshes is king over the rest of Israel. And Abner ben Ner goes out with the soldiers, and Yoav ben Tsruya, who is David's nephew. Tsruya is David's sister. Yoav is the son of Tsruya. Tsruya is the name of David's sister. So Yoav is his chief general. And they meet up by a pool, by Givon, and they both camp out there, and everything's in peace. And things are tense. They're, so to speak, they're opposing armies. You know, they're the tribes that appointed Ishbosheth, and these are David's men. And Avner says to Yoav, Yakumu hane'arim l'sachek. Let the lads, Yakumu na hane'arim, let the lads get up and joke around. Let's have a wrestling match. Yakumu na hane'arim yisachaku lifaneinu. Let's see who's going to kill whom. Yoav says, okay, if that's what you want, I'll send my representatives. So the tribe of Benjamin sends 12 representatives, and the tribe of Benjamin were exceptional warriors. And Yoav sends 12 men. And they start wrestling, and each one grabs the other one by the head. And each one draws his sword. And they stab one another at the same moment, and all 24 drop dead on the spot. And that's the beginning of war. And war breaks out. Avner has a huge army. Yoav has an army of very powerful men from Yehuda. And Yoav wins. And the tribes of Avner is on the run. And David's three nephews are there. Yoav, one general. Avishai, a second general. And the younger brother, who's a huge tzaddik named Asael, who is very, very swift. And Asael sees Avner on the run, and so Asael runs directly after Avner. And Avner tries to turn to the left and tries to turn to the right, and Asael doesn't let up. And Avner turns around and he says, is that you, Asael? And Asael says, yes, it is. Avner says, do me a favor, go to your right, go to your left, there are plenty of people here you could kill, there are other people you could win and come back and say you were a victory in this war. You're victorious in this war. Leave me be. And Asael refuses. And Avner begs him and he says, do me a favor, leave. Why should I kill you? How will I ever be able to face your brother Yoav? And Asael is scared. He realizes he's chasing a chief general in Israel who knows his stuff. And he doesn't let up. And so Avner sticks his spear back, and with one shot, Asael's dead. Asael's lying there in his blood, and Avner continues running. And anyone who comes sees this young man who was just killed in one shot, stops and looks. And Yoav and his brother Avishai, they don't stop. They're going to venge for their brother's blood, and they chase after Avner. And they come to a place called Givat Amah, and the tribe of Binyamin regroups. And remember, they were very powerful warriors, the tribe of Binyamin, almost like Yehuda, maybe even better than Yehuda. And they're all on one mountaintop. And Avner calls out to Yoav, and he says, will this war continue forever? Don't you know that in the end it's going to be bitter? It's just Jews that are being killed in this war? Till when will you keep chase? And till when will you withhold from telling the nation to stop? And Yoav says, I swear by Hashem, if not for what you said, then the war wouldn't have started. I didn't want this war. You're the one who invited the war to begin. And Yoav blows his shofar and everyone stops. They stop the chase. Avner isn't taking any chances. All night long, he leaves, he runs. And Yoav isn't taking any chances. Yoav knows that even though they've called truce, Avner can't be trusted, as we saw in the stories of Shaul. And Yoav says, Avner knows that I want his blood for killing my brother. So he's going to try to kill me at some point now before I kill him. So Yoav grabs his men and he runs all night long back to Hebron. So they're both on the run. Yoav lost Asael and 19 men. And Avner lost 360 men. They bury Asael. And from this moment onward, Yoav will want to see Avner dead. And the war erupted again between the two, and David keeps winning. Now, Shaul had a concubine. Her name was Ritzpah Bat Aya. And technically, halachically, any woman that a king lived with is prohibited upon any other man other than a fellow king. And Avner went and married her, which was an indication that Avner felt that he was king. So Ishbosheth says to him, "Why did you do that?" And Avner says, "What am I, just like I'm a head of dogs? I'm not the chief general. I'm not almost king here. I've done so much favor for your house and the house of Saul, and I've done you all this kindness, and today you come to me and you talk to me like that. That's it. Hashem swore to David that he'll be king. I'm going to help him with that. I'm taking the kingdom over to David." And Abner and Ishbosheth couldn't answer, because the true military and political might was in the hands of Avner. Avner was the one that appointed Ishbosheth king. And so Avner sends word to David, and he says, "I want to make a treaty with you. I'm going to bring all of Israel under your rule." And David says, "Fine, but one condition. I want the people of Israel to see that I deserve it. I'm not just stealing the kingdom from under Ishbosheth. Bring me back my wife, Michal, the daughter of Shaul. That's a sign that I have a right to this throne. I am the king's son-in-law. I'm not just stealing it. This is what God said should be." And so David sends word to Ishbosheth, and he says, "Do me a favor, give me back my wife Michal, because halachically she's mine. Your father thought that halachically she wasn't, and I'll prove it to you, halachically she was, and we discussed the machlokas back when we learned it." And Ishbosheth agrees with him, and he sends her to David. And here we see again the tzidkus of Ishbosheth, what a righteous man he was. He's having a war with David. David is technically his threat. And by giving David back his wife, he is indicating that David has a certain right to the throne. And in spite of that, he says, halachically he's right. And so he sends word and he says, "Send King David back his wife. Send David back his wife." And Avner turns to the elders and he says, "Look, we always wanted David as king. He was such a good general. Let's join. Hashem said he should be king. Let's bring over the kingdom to David." And Avner even turns to the people of Binyamin, who was King Saul's tribe, and he turns to David and he says, "I want to gather even the tribe of Israel. I've already gotten all of the Jewish people to accept you as king." He comes to David with 20 men, and when he comes, Yoav isn't around. Coincidence. And Avner tells David, "Let me gather everyone, and we will have a royal party appointing you as king." And David sends Avner in peace. And Yoav is just coming back from a war. He has a lot of loot. He's just been very successful against the enemies. And he hears what happened. And he hears that David made a pact with Avner, who killed his brother. And he says, "Wait a second, what did Avner come here for? How do you know he's for real? Maybe Avner just came to check out all our hiding places to attack." But the truth is that Yoav had no reason to suspect. Yoav just wants Avner dead. And so Yoav says to David, "What'd you do? Avner was here and you let him go? Don't you know that he just came to seduce you? He's coming to try to entice you and to know where you're located?" And Yoav leaves David, and without talking to David, he sends word and he tells Avner, "The king wants you back here." And David doesn't know about that. And Avner is brought back to Hebron, and Yoav is about to take him to task over what he did to his brother. We are standing at a pivotal moment in Jewish history. All the civil wars could be ended. There could be unity. Everyone could be under David. But Yoav has an issue to take up with Avner, because Avner killed his brother. And Yoav says, "What'd you kill my brother for?" And Avner says, "Your brother was trying to kill me." And Yoav says, "Even if he was, you could have maimed him. You could have hit him in the leg. What'd you have to hit him and kill him in one shot?" And Avner says, "Well, I didn't mean to." And Yoav says, "What do you mean you didn't mean to? In one shot you kill him by mistake? That was a pretty skilled shot to kill him in one shot." And this is where we'll pick up next week.